above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. And Felder scored. Felder scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about rugby league, where you apparently hear all the wrong bloody tips. I'm the host and chief culprit, Bo Nicholson. On this episode, we will be talking about round one, where it all went wrong, now that it's fully completed, by naming our player of the round, giving our wildcard awards. We will discuss the surprises from round one, and if that makes us think differently about the teams moving forward, before hearing from the Big E with his phenomenal tip of the week, doing our own tips for round two, for what they're worth after last week. And joining me to do the heavy lifting tonight is Daniel Friend. Hello, Friendy. Who was your player of the week?
G'day, Bo. My player of the week was actually from last week, and it was Joey Manu. Player of the round. He was outstanding. Even just you look at his stats and everything. He's one try assist, 7 tackle breaks, 3 offloads, 2 line break assists. Like, the guy's a gun. He's clearly the premier centre for mine in the competition, and I thought he was my player of the round.
A very good choice. Did you notice that he got 0 Dally M points?
Yes. What about that debacle? When I was a kid growing up, I just thought that was the bee's knees, the Dally M. Like, I watched Joey, mm-hmm. JT, everyone that won it. It was well deserved, and they seemed to get it right, I thought. But you watch now, Jesus, what a debacle.
Yeah, and generally speaking, at the end of the year, you sit there and go, you know what, Tom Trbojevic was the best player that year. You know, I think KP was definitely in that conversation for the half year he played. You know, like, they get it right more often than not, but it's the process to get there. My goodness. Like, Hamaso Tabuai-Fido got a point.
Oh, mate, that's one of the worst games I've seen him play. His effort was lacking a lot of the time, and he's a really good player. We're both big fans, especially yourself. Who was your player of the round, mate?
I went for a bit of a different one. I went with Josh King from the Storm. Now, okay. His stats don't scream player of the week. 29 tackles, 1 miss, 78 meters from 48 minutes. So it seems a bit silly, but when I was watching that game, and that game was a dogfight between the Storm and the Panthers, I really loved that game. You know, 1 try scored from a kick, you know, how good is the defense? But Josh King was the kind of, he was doing like the Lindsay Collins efforts, you know, diving on the loose balls, making a key tackle when there's a half break, his kick chase, his line speed. He felt like he was making key plays a lot of the time. And that's the kind of front rower that I love. So yep. I just kept noticing him. And I reckon a lot of people might not have noticed him, but I reckon his teammates would have. So my player of the week was Josh King.
Love it, mate. Another Newcastle reject. One for the drawing board there for us.
Would have been a good one to keep. Let's go into the wildcard awards, one of our favorites of the episode. What do you got for us this week?
This week, Bo, my wildcard award is the Adam O'Brien Eats Bostic Glue Sticks Award. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Adam O'Brien eats glue paste. He's a moron. They've just re-signed him too. And he's gone and put and Phoenix Crossland had a really good year last year. Jack Cogger, one of our signings, so he probably had to be in the side somewhere. Coming from a good system and all that sort of jazz. But he's had them on the field for basically half the game or more. I think it was like 50 minutes. He's had them both defending in the middle. And they're two of the smaller guys. I mean, Canberra's got arguably the biggest pack in the competition. And you've got two of your smaller defenders, I don't know, in the middle for long periods of time. I didn't understand it. Cogger played dummy half ages. I didn't sort of get that either. I just thought when he came on, Gamble would go to 9. Anyway, what do I know? I'll leave it to the glue eater.
I do want to pick your brain about the Knights because you are a Knights fan. We'll get into that in just a moment. It's funny that you've gone for your team for your wildcard award. I've gone for mine, and I think yours might be funnier. I went for a comedy one, but I think yours might be funnier. But I've gone for the Blow Up Doll Award for Hottest Dummy. And it goes to Zach Laybutt because that one-handed, Yeah. Yep. Imagine being, what, I don't know how old he is, like 20, 22, something like that. Imagine being that young, coming up to an Australian player, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, in like the opening minutes very early in your career and throwing a one-handed flick pass dummy. That is filthy. Absolutely filthy. So that is the hottest dummy I've seen since a blow-up doll I bought for my friend for his 18th birthday a number of years ago. We called her Polythene Pam. Nice. And she was beautiful, but that Zach Lebert dummy was maybe even better. And it did get me a little bit aroused as a Cowboys fan. I've got to say, he had a good game, Zach Lebert, but I thought he looked very at home. Did you catch that game?
Yeah, I did, mate. He was brilliant. He's a big, strong thing, big, rangy. I like centers that are like that. Lots of reach and speed and power, and he looks the goods.
He does. I'm very excited. Let's get into the main news. Obviously, after round one, especially when we get like 3 out of 8 for our tips, I think we had the same, you and I. It was a tough round, of course, especially when you go neg 5 for the opening 2 like you did, unfortunately. I've got to keep bringing it up. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You'll get back. I'm sure you'll get back. Oh, but the rest of us did not get far ahead of you. Don't worry about it, because that was tough going. Now, I'm curious, because there was a lot of teams that we were expected to win. Rabbitohs, Broncos, Panthers, Knights, Warriors. You know, these are all teams that we're expecting to be in the top 6 or so this year that faltered at their first hurdle. I'm curious what you think about those results, whether they are indicative of some serious problems or whether it's more like, it's just round one, don't worry about it. And whether that applies to all those teams. I might start with the Panthers. That's the obvious one. They're the three-time champions in a row with a grand final before that. They just lost the World Club Challenge. They fly down home, then they fly to Melbourne, and they get beaten by a very good Storm team, I think, 8-0. Is there cause for concern for Panthers fans, do you think, or do you think the four-peat is still very much on?
No, it's still very much on. They're fine. Their defense is good. Again, only conceding 8 points at Amy Park in Melbourne. Melbourne's record down there is obviously really good over the years. Bellamy undefeated in round one continues, so he knows what he's doing there. Yeah, they've got nothing to worry about, the Panthers. They'll be fine.
Does that apply for some of the other teams that we mentioned there, like the Broncos, for example, or maybe even the Rabbitohs? Because they're considered heavy hitters. They've got great rosters. Any concerns with those two teams and their results?
No, I think they're okay as well. The Broncos in particular, I thought they were still okay. I thought the Roosters were just really good over in Vegas. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about that. The team I've got concerns over is my side, Newcastle. That was pathetic the other night. Their lack of effort was just shocking. Like round one, home crowd after a big season last year. Really poor from Newcastle. So I've got real concerns there.
Now, in the preseason, you mentioned that you would not be moving Tyson Gamble. You're just like absolutely dead set, especially in defense for energy and things like that. You were just set and forget with him and then work out what you want to do with your 7. Now, obviously, it's only round 2. It's not panic stations yet. It's one loss. The Raiders came 8th last year. You know, they're not a horrible team. This could be a blip. But do you foresee a change in your opinion there, where it might be for the betterment of the team if Gamble moves to a different role, or maybe even one of him, Hastings, Cogger drops out completely, or Crossland doesn't hold his spot? Like, how are you feeling after seeing the other night?
Yeah, I'm still okay with Gamble. I'm a little bit not all that happy with Jackson Hastings at the moment. I'm not sure he shows much urgency with the ball or anything like that. So he's a little bit of a concern for me. He doesn't really – I know he scored a try with a dummy and go, but he doesn't really offer any running threat whatsoever, which just means all eyes are basically on Kalen out the back, and we don't want that. I think if Cogger plays 7, I think we straighten up. Kalen gets a bit more room to move, and I just think that benefits us greatly if, Jack Cogger's wearing the 7, and I'd probably keep Tyson in the 6, and Hastings would just go out for mine. I don't think Hastings is on a big pay packet or anything, so there's no great reason to keep him there. Yeah, I think eventually that's what will happen anyway. So, that would be how I would go with it.
Do you think O'Brien will go that way? Keeping in mind that we've got Jaden Brayley coming back shortly from injury as well, he'll throw his hat in the mix too.
Yeah, no, he'll stick solid. I actually think by the end of the season, our halves will be Jack Cogger and Will Price. So, I mean, how long do you give what's happening there at the moment? I don't know. I mean, it's only one game, but I saw signs of this last year. Hastings just does not offer any running threat whatsoever. He's playing in a dinner suit, and yes, he might be a great organiser and everything, but we looked pretty disorganised the other night. So, for mine, he's on borrowed time.
Interesting. Warriors, you've got no concerns there. I mean, like they jumped out to a great. I thought they were fantastic. The 15 minutes they played was among the best in the competition for the first round, and then they just seemed to clock off, and the Sharks just wanted it more. Did that concern you?
Yeah, it was a bit weird, wasn't it? Because I thought they were going to run away with it. I thought it was going to be 30s blot. Sharks hung tough. Warriors ended up looking a little bit frustrated. They had plenty of ball, so they've let their home crowd down a little bit there, because that's one that really got away. They should close that out. So, but no, I don't have any concerns about them. They look well drilled again, and credit to Cronulla. That was something I haven't seen them do for a long time. So, especially with this group of players. So, yeah, well done to them. They toughed it out, and I think they're in for another solid season. So, yeah, I think Warriors are fine.
Some of those teams that beat the teams we were just talking about, and then a couple of extras as well. I'm looking at teams like the Cowboys, who I thought were very impressive against the Dolphins, the Seagulls beating the Rabbitohs coming from behind, the Dragons just rolling the Titans, and the Raiders beating your Knights in Newcastle. Three of those teams, I think we both tipped them to miss the eight, and the Cowboys, I think we were pretty tentative about putting them anywhere near the eight as well. Is there some hope for some fans from those clubs, do you think? Some green shoots, some good signs?
Yeah, Cowboys look pretty good for mine. Raiders yet to be seen, because I think that was all effort, which is great. But once teams click into gear in the middle of the season, I still think their attack is really lacking. Ethan Strange, he looks pretty good in the trials, but the other night I still thought defensively is a real worry. And even with the ball in hand, he's not overly creative. He's a real runner. So I don't think Jamal Fogarty's a world beater that's going to win you a competition. So he needs a bit of help. And I'm not sure Strange is that guy creatively anyway. I think they've still got concerns. Cowboys were impressive. They look fit, fast, agile, big, strong things on the edge. Lukey and Nane, they were really impressive. I thought Jeremiah Nane was outstanding. He probably would have been second in my player of the round. So
yeah,
positive signs there. I thought Robson was good too. Service was good. Contact was good in defense.
Townsend was running the ball in the last.
Yeah, the Chad. He needs a big year. So anyway, positive signs for your Cowboys for sure, mate, I think. The rest, not so much.
So you're not that interested in the Seagulls beating the Rabbitohs? I thought that was a good
Yeah, sorry. Win. Sorry, yes, the Seagulls did look good. Again, maybe some worries for the Bunnies. I think they looked defensively. They looked, not good. I don't know. It's very Latrell ball with them at the moment. Cody was okay without being great, but who knows? He's what, 35 now? Father time is undefeated, so maybe this is the year he drops off a little. And if that happens, forward pack's heavily reliant on Cam Murray. Jai Arrow looks like he's injured for a while.
For the season, I'm hearing. Yeah,
So that's a bit, because their middles, I don't think they're going to bully anyone, are they? Really?
Yeah, real solid citizens, I think. You know, Totola, Kepi, you know, they're gonna do their work, and they're gonna do it pretty well, I think. But you're right, when you're up against a team like, I don't know, the Roosters, and you look at their middles, and you go, oh, geez, you'd back the Roosters then, wouldn't you, in a fight? Oh,
absolutely, yeah, for sure. Yeah, much more firepower. I mean, the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Warriors.
The Broncos.
There's a few big packs there, and I think might be a bit of a struggle for the Bunnies at the moment. So I guess, they're going to have to really rely on their key players to stay fit.
Is it time to eat some humble pie about the Dragons? Flanagan at 6, Tyrell Sloan at 1, Lomax on the wing. Has Shane Flanagan done it again?
Wait and see. No, they weren't playing much opposition the other night, and they had all the ball. So, let's wait and see.
That's a good call. While we do wait and see, let's hear from the Big E with his phenomenal tip of the week.
G'day, boys. Good morning. This is the Big E. I'm doing my Big E been on the tip of the week. I know it's early in the morning because I'm doing a QDN the whole day today. So I just want to do that right now. My first Big E been on the tip of the week today is actually I'm going to tip the Broncos against the Rabbitohs at Soccer Stadium. Here we come. My next one, I'm actually going to tip the Bulldogs against the Sharks for Monique. And also, sorry, Fendi, I am going to tip my team against your team at the night at my Cowboys home ground. Sorry about that. But anyway, this is a Big E, by the way. And, and also, congratulations to the Cowboys. They beat the Dolphins. I was there. It was a great match. Yeah, that hammer needs to work very hard after that. But, that's that. And also, my book prediction, I'm going to say Scott Drinkwater, Jason Tomalolo, and also Tamar Nenai will get a winning try. And that is my bold prediction. This is the Big E, baby. Shout out to Tolo. What's up, boys? Enjoy your day. Big E out.
Thank you, Big E. That sounds like fighting words, friendy.
It does. Hopefully it's a decent battle up there, but I like the Big E's chances. So, yeah.
he went after – this is unusual for the Big E. His favorite player definitely is the Hammer. He loves the Hammer, and he was pretty critical of the Hammer there. But as we said earlier, probably fair criticism of the Hammer. He was well out of it.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. Like, I understand he's Mr. Casual and he's very talented and quick off the mark and all that sort of stuff. But, geez, he just looked like he wasn't even trying. I don't go for the Dolphins. I have no affinity for them whatsoever, but... if I was one of their supporters, I'd be really angry at my marquee man there. He just didn't look interested whatsoever. Like, was he hungover?
I hope not. But like some of the efforts did look like it, didn't it? Like I think back and like this is the obvious one, but there's an obvious kick ahead. The ball's loose. You just dive on the thing. You've got three Cowboys coming towards you. It's not like you're going to get kicked in the head. Like you've got enough time to get on that ball and not get kicked in the head. So it wasn't like a huge courage play even. And he just puts it on the toe. Absolute brain explosion.
Bizarre.
That's the kind of stuff you don't want from a fullback, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I do wonder whether he is just truly a center, and they do have some fullback options in that team. But, you're not Adam O'Brien. I'm not Wayne Bennett. I'm sure these guys have a plan, but they will be upset with that. Let's look ahead to round two. We've got on Thursday night from Suncorp Stadium, we have the Broncos and the Rabbitohs. The Broncos are bringing Brendan Piacora back in, so apparently he's cleared the HIA protocols. As you mentioned earlier, Jai Arrow will be out for the Rabbitohs. They're replacing him with Talis Duncan. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty hot on the Broncos here, mate. I think they'll bounce back well. They've had a bit of a break since Vegas, a bit of a freshen up. So, yeah, hopefully Adam Reynolds, I know he had a niggling injury, so hopefully he plays. Mm. If he was to be out, I probably would still tip them, but only just. But, yeah, if he's in, I'm pretty keen on the Broncos. Yeah, how about you, mate?
I'm pretty much the same. If he's out, you'd assume that Jock Madden would be the one that comes in from the reserves there, unless they wanted to do something funky with Tristan Saylor. I doubt that, though. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think the Broncos, especially at home, they'll have a point to prove after Vegas. I think they'll be too strong.
Yep.
The next game is the Sharks and the Bulldogs. The Big E has controversially tipped the Bulldogs in this one. This is from PointsBet Stadium at 6 o'clock local time. Big news, I suppose, for the Bulldogs, no Josh Adokar. He got injured last week. Looked like a pretty serious injury, in fact. Connor Tracy, Kieran Gibson legend, comes onto the wing of all places for the Bulldogs. Who do you like?
Yeah, I don't think we have to go too far in depth with this one. I'll be tipping Cronulla, and I think they'll do it pretty comfortably.
They did look a bit more impressive, a bit more fight in them last week. So if form's anything to go by, I agree with you. The next game, very interesting. This is a game that generally you'd say the Panthers would be the favourites for, especially at home against the Eels. But the Eels tend to get up for the Panthers. What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Panthers. I think their defense is strong, and I don't think the Eels were overly impressive against the Bulldogs. Penrith for me at home, and Nathan Cleary to have a big game.
I'm a little bit worried about the Eels' dummy half area. I'm worried about getting the right service at the right time. Mitch Kenny is back for the Panthers, and he improves their side, no doubt. And if as you remember, they only lost 8-0 to Melbourne in Melbourne. Melbourne never loses round one. They had a try disallowed that was pretty debatable, if you ask me, for an obstruction, the Panthers, and the Storm only scored off a kick. So they weren't that bad, the Panthers. I, too, will go for them. The next game is on Saturday afternoon, a very interesting game, I think. Let's talk about the teams a little bit here, because the Raiders, welcome back Seb Chris, Albert Hobbawati goes to the wing, no Nick Kotrich for them. For the Tigers, Lachlan Galvin gets a debut at 5'8". I think he's 18 years old. Aiden Caesar on the bench. That's interesting. Solomona Fa'atape comes in on the centers, so no Justin Olam. They've given number 7 to Jaden Sullivan. That's interesting, I think. John Bateman's no longer at lock. They're definitely committing to him being on the edge with Alex Seifarth at lock ahead of Tuol Fonua-Pole. Interesting. And Samuela Fainu, one of the Fainu brothers, is on the bench as well. So big movements in Tiger Town. How do you think they're going to go in Canberra?
I'll be tipping the Raiders because that attitude and effort they showed last week was outstanding. I think Ricky will continue that theme through the week, and I'm sure they would have trained well. So, yeah, big pack. Tigers don't handle the big packs all that well. And again, they're just going to be relying heavily on Api Koroisau and I guess Jareem Buller a little bit. Yeah, we'll see how the young guy goes. But, I mean, yeah, he's going to have some big boys coming at him out on the edges there. So, yeah, all the best to him. But, yeah, I'll be tipping Canberra.
If I was to have a guess, I would say that Lachlan Galvin will be defending right edge, which means that Hudson Young will be in his sights. Oh.
Yeah,
that's good luck. If I'm correct. If not, it'll be Zach Hosking. But
I mean, the first time he runs the ball too, he's going to cop a facial, probably a big shot in the ribs. He's going to get the royal treatment from Hudson Young.
Just to be clear, a facial is not what you might think it is. For any listeners out there, it's a rubbing of the face with the hands. It is not. We have not ventured into a different realm here. I'm with you. I think the Raiders will win, but I can't tip the Tigers until they start showing me something.
Yep.
Hopefully, they show me something on Saturday. The next game is the Nicholson Friend Cup.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it's the Big E Friendy Cup, maybe. That's probably more appropriate. It's the Cowboys and the Knights from Cowboy Land. And luckily for the Cowboys, no injury concerns or anything from the previous game. For the Knights, you were dead right, by the way. My bold prediction was that Inari Tuala would score 2 tries. And not only did he not score 2 tries, he was off by halftime. And you said, oh, yeah, he'll get a couple of tries before he never plays a game this season. And lo and behold, the guy got injured. Thomas Jenkins comes in. I do hope that it's a short injury and he gets another opportunity, but we'll see. Kai Pierce-Paul moves into the starting pack for the Knights, by the way. You mentioned earlier that the Big E's got a good chance with the Cowboys here. Do you think the Knights can do it, though?
I do think they can, but they've got to show something. Well, they've got to have some the right attitude, effort, and they've got to earn the right to attack and just hold the ball for a bit. They looked impatient, disorganized, everything that you wouldn't think after training all off-season.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll see how they go, but I'll be tipping the Cowboys. Depending on how Newcastle show up, it could get ugly from what I saw from the Cowboys last week. They look, quite fit and ready to go.
Yeah, both their centers were – like I thought Zach Lapup was really good, obviously, but I've got a take without notice. I reckon Valentine Holmes takes the toughest hit-ups, as in like the hardest and fastest out of anyone in the comp.
Yep.
I can't think of anyone that runs at the defense harder than Val
Holmes. They are the most well-timed runs as well. He's at full speed when the dummy half hits him with the ball. He's brilliant. Mm. Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, he's worth his weight in gold when he's on that sort of form. So I too will go for the Cowboys, partially heart, but from what we saw last week too. The next game is the Storm and the Warriors. This is from Amy Park in Melbourne. Still no Cameron Munster. So Jonah Pezzett, who I thought had some nice touches, including the kick to score that one try. For the Warriors, Wade Egan is named. surprisingly, somewhat, I think. And they still have Tane Tuaopiki at fullback. I don't know about you, Friendy. I think Tane's a good player, but I think he was a little bit of a handbrake when it came to some of their plays. So I think they're missing Chance a little bit. I'm going to go for Melbourne. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll be tipping Melbourne. I saw a stat today. They've won the last eight or something against New Zealand down there. So, I'll be tipping Melbourne. Well-drilled and, yeah, super fit as always. Bellamy likes to get him that way early in the season. So, yep, the Storm for me.
Yeah. The next game is the Seagulls and Roosters on Sunday afternoon from Four Pines Park, formerly known as Brookvale. This is Luke Brooks' first chance to strut his stuff in front of his home fans, and that will be the narrative, of course. That's what everyone's going to talk about. They do also have Tommy Talau coming in on the wing with no Jason Saab. The Roosters welcome Dominic Young back, so that means that Junior Ponga drops out. That's fairly straightforward for them. The Roosters were very impressive against the Broncos, as you mentioned, but so were the Seagulls against the Rabbitohs in Vegas. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, this is really tough for mine. I'm going to tip the Roosters just on class, but if Tom has a day out, I mean, yeah, who knows? Really, I found this really hard to pick, and they love Brookvale Oval, the Seagulls, obviously, but I'll stick with the Roosters, just a little bit more firepower for mine and better defensively.
I love the Roosters. Like, you look at the amount of class they have in that team. You're dead right about that. I'll tip them as well. I'm looking at the benches. Now, I'm pretty high on White. I think he's really good. Nat Butcher was like knocking on Origin's door at various points of last year. Terrell May has just shot out of the ground as one of the most dynamic bench middles. And Sandon Smith has some real nice touches of class and offers a good variation from what Brandon Smith offers. So I love that bench rotation. I think they're really well set for a strong year. So Roosters for me as well. I mean, they're so good they don't even have Connor Watson or Angus Crichton in there. Egan Butcher. You can have an 18th team with you. No,
yeah. I thought Egan Butcher was building nicely into a like a really long-term first grader for them. And I'm sure he still will be, but he's not even in the side. Crazy.
That's how good they are. And the last game from KO Stadium, which is up in Redcliffe, the Dolphins' home ground, is the Dolphins versus the Dragons. Dolphins very disappointing last week. Dragons very impressive, and that has meant the Dragons can basically keep things the same-ish. While the Dolphins have had to make some changes, there's no Sean O'Sullivan. Isaiah Katoa moves into halfback. Jake Averillo is getting a crack in the centres. I think that's probably a good switch. And Max Plath will be the lock. And you called it off, Mike. You and Aitken will get the crack in the back row there. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'll tip the Dragons here, mate, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way. Dolphins have got enough players there to do the job, but I'll tip the Dragons just on attitude and effort that they showed last week.
Yeah, it's very tempting. I'm going to go for the Dolphins. I think a home ground advantage helps, and I think this team is closer to my idea of a better team than round one was, with just some of the selections they've been forced to make, but they've had some, like, you know, I think Averillo in is good. I think Katoa in is good. He's got a good kicking game. So I'll back them in. And I think the Dragons might have some drop off, but we will see. My friend, what is going to be your bold prediction for the week?
My bold prediction this week is Nicho Hynes to score 14 points or more. I did the same thing with Kalen last week, basically. So I guess we'll see how bold that is.
So Nicho is playing against the Bulldogs. Yes. Is he still kicking goals, Nicho? He is, isn't he?
Well, he kicked a couple, but Braden Trindle kicked the first one, which was weird. So I don't know if they're going side to side, or I'm not sure what the go is. But yeah, that was my...
I think that makes it bold. I think that makes it bold for sure. I will back in a youngster. I'm going to go with Lachlan Galvin to score a try on his debut. That'll be my bold prediction against the Raiders on Saturday afternoon. Friendy, thank you very much for your time. We, of course, miss Kieran Gibson, Miles Stedman, and Chris Waring, who could not be here tonight with various scheduling things. But we were very happy to have the Big E contribute, and I'm always glad to talk to you, mate. It's always a pleasure.
You too, mate. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And thank you to the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe, please like, please interact on socials. If you see us on Facebook there, please tell a friend. If they love rugby league, they might like this show. It's easy breezy, can be a bit of fun. please like and subscribe if you can. That way you can go above the horizontal next week. But until then. Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Steppen, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.